Good morning. It is good to be worshiping with you here today at Community Mennonite Church. There are so many connections between CMC and EMU, as I think you all know. Let's start with the fact that there are 10 current EMU students from this church, and what a precious gift is that. I'm also aware that well over 100 EMU generous alums and supporters, including faculty and staff, are also members at CMC. In fact, this church was founded by EMC at that time, students and faculty and alums, and I think Myron Augsburger as well. So very strong roots between the two. So I do want to say on behalf of our faculty and staff and students, thank you for your support of your church college, Eastern Mennonite University. We are blessed to be celebrating our 100th anniversary, and your bulletin insert, I think you have a bulletin insert, that does indicate and tells a bit of our story. So to the power of place. Let's begin with your location at 70 High Street in the heart of Harrisonburg. Jesse and I have a real kinship for urban Mennonite churches. We have always been a part of one. We know a church's location in the city shapes its mission, its outreach, and its membership in profound ways. As our three children were growing up in Kansas, and even as we moved to the mostly white suburbs, we drove the 30 miles back to the inner city of Wichita on Sunday mornings. It was an area struggling with urban blight. But we wanted to support the only Mennonite church located in the city of 500,000, and the only church keenly interested in issues of poverty and homelessness, and the first church in the area to offer wide-ranging acceptance of all kinds of people in our church family. So today I want to talk about why place matters, not just as a geographical exercise in locating the holy ground of Bible stories, and not just to encourage Mennonites to join urban churches. Along the way, I'd like us to contemplate what happens in our postmodern world when we underestimate the power of place. So first, a story. Do you remember the felt board children's stories? This will date many of us. It was all about felt cutout characters and props that kids could help the storyteller place on a felt canvas. It was a great way to encourage tactile and participatory learning and to learn the great Bible stories. But location disappeared. I remember one Sunday in my church during Advent season that the children's story was about Jesus's birth. And as the nativity scene was being told and the characters and animals populated on the green felt backdrop, the storyteller asked the gathered children, "What do you like best about Jesus' birth?" One little guy, about age 6, said, "I like that Jesus was born in a barn, outside." Another slightly older girl quickly piped up and said, "Ooh, I bet it smelled. My grandpa has a barn, and I hold my nose when I go into it." That led to lots of laughter and a whole discussion about mangers and manure, and what a strange, messy place for God's Son and the Savior of the world to be born. It wasn't the direction the storyteller had in mind, but she was a seasoned teacher and she ran with it. To close, she observed, "Like the limitations of this felt board, we grown-ups sometimes forget that where a Bible story takes place is as critical as the action and the characters in it." Not too many weeks later, our pastor gave a sermon entitled "The Miracle in the Mess," in honor of the kids' insight about the importance of place. This story has remained memorable for me over the years, and it illustrates first that place matters when we foreground what is usually background. In other words, when we think deeply about place, our perspective is altered. It opens new imaginative doors. It gives one agency, the capacity to act in certain ways. All of us can relate to times in our life when place is most often foregrounded. Buying or selling a home is a prime example. As any successful real estate agent will tell you, there are only three things that you think about when buying or selling a home. Yes. Another time that place really matters is in selecting where to attend a school. And even more significantly, where to plant a school. To illustrate the importance of where universities are situated, one need only to recall the dramatic origins of EMU. For over a decade, in the first part of the 20th century, Mennonites in the East debated where to plant a school. Yes, they debated other things too, what should be taught, who the first president should be, on and on and on. But the most vigorous debates, and this is very well documented, the most vigorous debates, some of them even rather ugly, were about location. Where should this school in the East be situated? Pennsylvania, Ohio, Maryland, Virginia? And then, when interest solidified around Virginia, the squabble only intensified. Denby by the sea almost won out. Then there was momentum for Alexandria, smack dab in our nation's capital, as the chosen spot, just 6 miles from Mount Vernon. That location was nixed when Bishop Daniel Kaufman stepped in to say, "We cannot have a Mennonite school that close to the nation's capital. Too militaristic." And finally, perhaps as much out of weariness as inspiration, this idyllic spot, our Camelot, the Shenandoah Valley with its rich farmland and stunning vistas in Harrisonburg, won out. And in October of 1917, in the midst of the Great War, EMS opened up. For 100 years, EMS's idyllic spot has given us agency. Located in the South, race relations and diversity take special urgency for us. Located so close to the nation's capital gives our peace witness extra saltiness. Located in the valley, a tourist destination, and in a bustling, success-driven college town, gives our commitment to creation care, service, and faith formation a special counter-cultural identity. EMS's location allows us, as educators like Paul on Mars Hill, to speak into Athens and Jerusalem. Reason and revelation, art and science, service and scholarship come together every day for us and give us a mandate to speak truth to power, to live into our mission, to prepare students to serve and lead in a global context in the spirit of Micah 6:8, to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. John Mark Reynolds, author of the book When Athens Met Jerusalem, says this: "We sometimes forget that Paul was successful on Mars Hill because he understood the rational world view, the view of the Athenians, and he used that inquisitive mindset to win over converts for Christ. It wasn't a life of free inquiry pitted against a life of humble obedience to God. It wasn't that at all. Paul understood that Jerusalem gave the world truth. But Athens gave Jerusalem a valid way to express that truth, a creative harmony." He closed by noting this: "Christians must recapture that middle place. Athens and Jerusalem are not two distinct, separate cities. They are two districts in one city, the city of God. EMU's place for us in our day is about recapturing that middle place. So place matters. When we foreground what is usually background, it gives us the capacity to see and act in new ways. Another reason place matters is because it facilitates authentic community. Certain places, safe, vibrant, intentional gathering places, allow us to connect, converse, and commune with the other. These places give us a sense of belonging and shape our sensibilities as a civil society and as a close-knit community. Research from the University of Oregon has showed that the number of people who feel a sense of belonging has fallen by half since 1976 to today, and this applies to both genders as well as all ages and education levels. So here's the puzzle. How can a generation equipped with a smartphone and Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn have one-third fewer real friends than their non-digital world counterparts of the 80s and 90s? Part of the answer? We are now what some scholars are calling the post-civic generation. That is, the generation that has grown up without much in the way of a larger, more public social life. Belongingness rates began to plummet in the mid-1990s, about the time that we shifted away from communal places, like parks, libraries, churches, and residential colleges and universities. Harvard political scientist Robert Putnam has been studying this post-civic trend for some time. In his groundbreaking book entitled Bowling Alone, he unpacked the unusual story of two bowling buddies to illustrate the precariousness of communal places. This is the story about John and Andy. John and Andy knew each other only through their local bowling league. They had little else in common. John was 64, a retired employee at the University of Michigan. Andy was 33, and he was an accountant. At their bowling night, Andy learned of John's need for a kidney transplant. He had been waiting for 3 years. Andy volunteered to donate a kidney to John, and he did. This moving story, in some sense, speaks for itself, but the photograph that accompanied this report in the Ann Arbor News revealed that in addition to their differences in profession and generation, Andy is white and John is African American. That they bowled together made all the difference. In small ways like this, we simply need to connect with one another in communal places. That is the simple argument of Putnam's book, Bowling Alone. Emily White, author of an excellent hot-off-the-press book entitled Count Me In, sums up this trend well. She writes, "The going solo world is overrated. What we are losing with all our emphasis on self-reliance over the support of others is enormous. There's not a whole lot in our culture urging us to join together in real, in-person ways. We can tweet, but we're not encouraged to meet." So place matters because it facilitates authentic community. Intentional gathering places shape our sense of belonging and shape our sensibility as a civil society. Finally, place matters because it is foundational to church. Our Anabaptist theology pushes us to witness shalom, that wonderful ancient word that means faith-inspired communities of peace and wholeness. Practicing shalom reminds us that church is not about individuals, but about the body. The body is one of the most commonly used metaphors for the church in the New Testament. In their book, Why We Love the Church, Kevin DeYoung and Ted Kluck describe the attempts to have a churchless Christianity as an act of what they call decorpulation, not the cutting off of the head, Jesus, but the cutting off of the body, the church. They suggest that to live a Christian faith without the church is as impossible as trying to have a head walk around without a body. That's kind of a spooky Halloween image, but it's not a comforting image of what our faith in practice should look like today. So place matters. It foregrounds possibilities, it facilitates community, and it is foundational to the future of a fully embodied church. I want to leave you with the two larger lessons of the power of place. Place still matters in our postmodern world. New digital spaces are exciting and impressive in their global reach, but they do not bind us to one another in ways that sustain shalom, in ways that ground us, in ways that privilege touch and abiding assurance and accountability. That we can tweet but not meet, that we can connect but not converse, is not a recipe for spiritual and church growth. Indeed, grounded places still matter above disembodied spaces. And second, place matters in the Bible, and it should in our lives as well. So we can know, as Moses does, when and where and with whom we are standing on holy ground, and where together we can look and listen for promised lands. So we can remember, as Paul does, the power of mediating places where our Jerusalems and Athens can come together to extend the peace of Jesus Christ to new converts for a new day. Indeed, to come back to the Feltboard nativity story, the miracle is in the mess. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.